This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu,
Welcome to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Your space to reflect. Today, it's my honour and pleasure to welcome back Sheikh Sajid Umar. Sheikh Sajid has a bachelor's degree in Sharia. He also holds a master's degree in judiciary and is now pursuing his PhD. Sheikh Sajid is renowned as an international speaker and a galvaniser of communities. Welcome back, Sheikh.
Thank you very much, Barakallahu Fikum. May Allah bless you and bless you all.
Today we're going to be discovering the role of Jesus, known as Isa, peace be upon him, to Muslims. I remember going to Lebanon as a Christian in 2007 and seeking out some of the sites where Jesus was known to have preached and to travel to. And I was amazed in one particular area, and where I was shown a specific spot where Jesus was known to have preached to his apostles. And it was tended by an elderly Muslim man. And I said to him, "Why are you doing this? What is your interest in this?" And he said so many stories, and he had so much received knowledge about what had happened in these places and so much love for Jesus that I took that away and I was amazed. So, Sheikh, please introduce us a bit to Jesus in the Islamic understanding.
May Allah bless you, Sister Lauren. Prophet Jesus, and in Arabic we know him as Isa, peace be upon him. He's a prophet from the prophets of God Almighty, a messenger from the messengers of God Almighty, and in Islam, he's considered to be one of the messengers of absolute resolve. Or absolute resolution. There's five messengers that were given this unique title of being the messengers of absolute resolution and the result. And they were Noah, or Nuh, as we say in Arabic, Abraham, or Ibrahim, Moses, or Musa, Jesus, or Isa, and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So, Islam considers Isa or Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, all of these things. In fact, when you ask the question about Jesus in an Islamic setting or from an Islamic perspective, then there's just so much to say. There's so much to say because the Quran, which is the final testament, which is the revelation that came down to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is filled with citations about Prophet Jesus, right, and his mother as well. And in fact, we have an entire chapter named the chapter of Mary in the final testament, right, which is the Quran. So, these are just some basics for us to sort of identify how well Islam associates itself with Prophet Jesus.
What is his role practically in the Quranic perspective? Because he is known to be coming back. Muslims have this understanding as well.
Yes, so the Quran explains to us, the life of Jesus, how he was born, the people he was sent to, the miracles that God Almighty gave him, the miraculous nature of his birth, the nature of his mother, and certain specifics during his actual birth, and certain specifics shortly after he was born as well. The Quran tells us a bit about the family of Mary, right? Because she was the daughter of Imran. And in the Quran, there's an entire surah called the chapter of the family of Imran, which also has citations related to Mary and Jesus. May Allah be pleased with them both. With regards to some of what the Quran has said and taught us regarding Isa, then the Quran has taught us that he's a messenger from the messengers of God. However, a crucifixion attempt was sanctioned against him. But God Almighty raised Prophet Jesus to the heaven before that attempt could be completed, and in his place left somebody who resembled Jesus. So this is what Allah reveals in the final testament, right? Because he's a prophet of God Almighty, and God Almighty protects his prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so God Almighty raised him and left in his place somebody who looked like Jesus, and that person was crucified, and Jesus was safe, and he's safe in the heavens, and he was met by the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, during the ascension to the heavens, and that Jesus will return at the end of time and deal with the Antichrist that the world will witness before the coming of the Day of Judgment. And when Jesus comes, he will come as a follower of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and he will explain to the other denominations that are around and those who claim to be followers of him that he left an instruction when he was alive and during his tenure as a prophet of the coming of the next prophet that everyone should follow, whose name will be Ahmed, meaning the praised one, meaning Muhammad. And he will express himself as a follower of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So this is basically in a nutshell. Obviously, there's so much to the discussion, but in a nutshell, this is what I can share. Hopefully that fits the scope of this particular program with regards to your question.
How do we move forward with peace in our hearts when people will feel perhaps offended to know that Muslims believe and understand Jesus, peace be upon him, to be a human man who worshipped God rather than God himself?
So the thing is, at the end of the day, our minds can only, they only have the capacity to fathom and understand up to a certain extent. And at the end of the day, God Almighty complements what our minds cannot understand and fathom through revelation. So what we have with us is revelation. So it's not really a battle of the egos or me being right versus you being right. It's really a case of what is right. So it's not a case of taking offense because, you know, on a human level, we take offense if somebody offends us, if we feel attacked. But it's really not a case of being attacked. It's really a case of showcasing love to Prophet Jesus. No doubt the Christians say what they say in an attempt to, in a show of their love to Prophet Jesus based on the understanding and what they believe. And with the Muslims, they say what they say out of love for Jesus and out of an understanding of what they believe due to evidence that has come to them. So it's not a case whereby, you know, anyone has a personal vendetta here, that, you know, we're trying to put the other person down at any cost. Thus, it should become sort of an egotistic exercise or an exercise of one person taking offense. At the end of the day, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about the reality of Jesus and who he was. So, whilst we love each other, right, our love for the truth surpasses, you know, whatever relationships we have between ourselves. That, you know, I can be your relative, you can be my parent, I can be your son, you can be my brother, you can be my sister, you can be my best friend. That will always remain. But, you know, my love for the truth surpasses that. And it's because of my love for the truth that I say what I say. Because at the end of the day, I'm only governed by evidence. You know, it's not something from my pocket or from your pocket, nor should it be something that we understand through hearsay. Right, and we know hersiology is a big, massive, science in and of itself. So basically, it's about going back to evidence. And the Quran actually cites many citations from the Bible. Right, not that it's copying the Bible, but God Almighty is telling us what He revealed to Moses and what He revealed to Jesus. And the Quran teaches us that, you know, the Bible was distorted by man, and the message of Jesus was distorted by man. So at the end of the day, we have to look at the next revelation from God Almighty that has been protected and not distorted. And that's really what we have as a final say in terms of us understanding right from wrong, correct information from incorrect information, and truthfulness from hearsay. And if the Quran is saying that God Almighty is one and he doesn't have a son, and do not say Jesus is the Son of God, and do not identify God as a Trinity, and that Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, didn't come with this message, then that's what we have to listen to, because that's really substantial. and clinical in terms of guiding us. Now, God Almighty in the Quran actually tells us about a conversation that will happen between him and Jesus on the Day of Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing verses that really makes the hairs on your on the back of your neck stand, really, where God Almighty says that, oh, Jesus, Son of Mary, did you tell the people to worship you and take you as a God other than Allah? And Jesus will reply back and say, glory be to you, God Almighty. You know, قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ, it was glory be to you. It wasn't for me to say what wasn't my right to say. And if I did say it, then you would have known that I said it, because تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي, you know what is in my heart. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ, and I don't know the unseen, right? وَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ أَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبَ, and you are the all-knower of the unseen. And then he goes on to say that مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ, I never said to them, except that which you commanded me to say to them, which is to worship one God, one Lord, my Lord and your Lord. And then he says, and I was a witness over them with regards to what I said to them whilst I was alive. And then when you caused me to pass away, you were an observer over what they did, O God Almighty.
Here, just to complement that, is another verse from the Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 59, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the translation. Indeed, the likeness of Jesus with God is as the likeness of Adam. He created him of dust. Then he said to him, be, and he was.
Yes, and the Quran definitely engages our logic, engages our intellect. And here, God Almighty is drawing for us an analogy, because obviously this verse is answering a misconception where people came about and said, well, how can you have a child without a father? Right? How can a woman get pregnant without a father? So if Mary says Jesus is from God, then he has to be the Son of God. So God Almighty is drawing a logical evidence here for us to contemplate over, because also you get some people who will say, okay, well, I don't believe in the Quran, so why should I listen to the Quranic narrative regarding, Jesus?
Which is a fair point.
It's not evidence for me. Yeah. But that's a fair point. So God Almighty says, okay, so just let's look at what's logical. If how did Adam, Prophet Adam, come about? And how come you don't think Prophet Adam is the Son of God? Right? Rather, you say he's the father of mankind, but nobody cites him as the Son of God Almighty. So it's the same thing. As you believe that Prophet Adam came by the divine order of God Almighty, and he said, be, and Prophet Adam became, and you don't have issues with that, right? Then why should you have issues with this? Why should you have issues in believing that Jesus was made in the same way? God Almighty said, be, and he became. And indeed, God Almighty is upon all able. And there are many other logical discussions that theologians brought about, in their debate with Christians and people of other denominations. You know, other discussions which just relate to logic, not from the Quran, but it makes sense. Like, for example, we as human beings, we consider it, a defect if you don't have if you have only one child. It's a defect, right?
Mm-hmm.
People take pride in having many children. So why would you attribute only one child to God Almighty if it was plausible in your theology for God Almighty to have a child? So really, I mean, even from a logical context, it will never make sense. And I've spoken to many Christians who actually, when I speak to them, they actually get to the point of saying, you know what, you're right, we don't have the answer to this. And they just rely on belief. They say, at the end of the day, we have nothing but belief. This is what we believe. This is what our parents taught us. This is what our forefathers believed in. And, so basically they actually submit to the fact that, you know what, it's true. Okay, we don't accept the Quran as evidence in our narrative. However, even from a logical perspective, we don't have the answers for you in terms of what you're saying. But we have belief. And this was the same message that the idolaters at the time of the messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, said to the messenger. That look, they knew deep down that this man, on a logical level, makes sense even. But why are you worshipping things that can't benefit you nor harm you? Why? And at the end of the day, their ego came into play and they said, well, are you telling us to leave what our forefathers, caused to become ingrained in our hearts and souls? So the prophet said to them, what if your forefathers were wrong? Is it not plausible that they would make a mistake? Human beings make mistakes. So it's actually amazing. When you read the Quran and you look at the different stories of the prophets and the discussions that took place between them, I've actually asked, I'm trying to push one of my students to actually do a psychology study for her degree a thesis rather, dedicated towards the psychology of the prophet and the messengers, or a psychological reference based on the discussion between prophets and the people that they were sent to, because very interesting how this discussion takes place. Yeah.
So before we go to the break, we will introduce this from the Quran, and perhaps we can continue the discussion afterwards. Quran Surah 4, Ayah 171. And today we are discussing the Islamic context for Jesus. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O people of the book, do not exceed the limits in your religion and attribute to God nothing except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of God, and his command that he conveyed unto Mary and a spirit from him. So believe in God and in his messengers, and do not say God is a trinity. Give up this assertion, it would be better for you, for God is indeed the only one God. Far be it from his glory that he should have a son. To him belongs all that is in the heavens and in the earth, and God is sufficient for a guardian. We will be back to find out more about Jesus in the Islamic context after this short break.
Allah, Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you. Allah, Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you. Allah, Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you. Allah, Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you. Oh my Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you, Allah. Oh my Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you, Allah. Oh my Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you, Allah. Oh my Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you, Allah. Oh my Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you. Oh my Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you. Oh my Allah, you are my Lord. I bow to you.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his gems of knowledge with us today is Sheikh Sajid Umar, and we were hearing an ayah of the Quran about Jesus' importance and yet his submission to God in the Quran.
So, just before the break, you wonderfully read out a translation of a passage from the Quran, from the fourth chapter of the Quran. And, even though you were reading it in English, it really resonated with my heart, and I'm pretty sure many a listener would say the same. And you actually felt like it's God actually speaking to you, and indeed, the Quran is the word of God Almighty. And God Almighty here, in the verses that you recited, is actually, citing for, is actually revealing evidence to that which we spoke about before the break, that this is what the Quran is saying. It's giving you a complete theological discussion about a confusion that exists at the time, and sadly that confusion has continued. But here is the Quran, a book of guidance, saying do not consider God a trinity, and do not consider Jesus the son of Mary as his son. Rather, he was a messenger, he was a prophet of God Almighty. And earlier we actually shared that discussion that will happen on the Day of Judgment between Jesus and God Almighty, and Jesus will consider himself innocent of the claims that have been attached to him, right? Innocent of the claim that he taught the Trinity, that he taught himself, taught people that he was a son of God Almighty. He will render himself innocent of these of these particular claims. If you could just share with the viewers one more time the reference for that verse, that would be great for them to jot it down and read it for themselves.
So please pick up any copy of the Quran in the English translation, in fact, any copy in any language at all, and you will see chapter 4. And this is section or ayah 171, which speaks specifically about Allah's guidance to humanity upon the role and the status of Jesus. Let's talk a little bit about the way that Jesus worshipped God, how he was submissive and loving to his maker.
Yes, so every prophet obviously followed the instructions of God Almighty, and the first way that Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, was submissive to God Almighty, was by declaring God Almighty as one, and by following the directive of God Almighty towards preaching the message of God Almighty to the people. Right? So for every prophet, this is, you know, this is ultimate worship, because, you know, submission is to submit to the will of God Almighty, and they've been given the stuff. Like, go to your people and teach them right from wrong. And, of course, this is a mighty, heavy, scary proposition that is that has been given from God Almighty to a human being. And to run with the command of God Almighty and follow his command, and then this is ultimate submission. You know, from an Islamic perspective, we are taught that, for example, there were certain acts of worship that existed with all the prophets, such as the prayer, the salah, such as fasting as well. It existed with other prophets. God Almighty tells us that, you know, this was a command that was that has been given to the followers of Muhammad, and it was given to the followers of the people who followed other prophets, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, was submissive to God Almighty through prayer, through fasting, and other acts of worship specific to Jesus that God Almighty legislated and passed on to him. And obviously he was a continuation, or he was continuing the propagation, and in Arabic we say the da'wah, and the message of Prophet Moses, peace and blessings be upon him, who came before him. So this is it in a nutshell. From an Islamic perspective, you know, we say that every prophet was a Muslim, and every follower of a prophet was a Muslim, as long as they passed away upon the message of that prophet. So somebody might say, so hold on a second. You know, are we saying that, you know, those who followed Jesus at his time and died before the coming of Muhammad, for example, so they died upon the message of Jesus, they were Muslims as well? I say yes. Somebody says, okay, what about the people who followed Moses and died upon the message of Moses before the coming of Jesus? Were they Muslims as well? We say yes, they were Muslims as well. And even those who witnessed Jesus coming and then followed the message of Jesus and accepted Jesus as a prophet, right, and died upon the belief that Jesus was a prophet of God Almighty, and they followed his message before the coming of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, then yes, even they were Muslims as well. If somebody says, how so? We say, because Islam means istislam, and istislam means to submit. So anyone who submits to the will of God Almighty in the moment that they live in, then they are a Muslim. And that's the reality of what Islam means. It's an Arabic term, but if you use the English term, it means submission, right? So Jesus submitted to the will of God Almighty. Moses submitted to the will of God Almighty. And Moses taught his people of the coming of Jesus. So the Jews who met Jesus and accepted his message, then they submitted to the will of God Almighty as put to them by Moses, right? But if they rejected Jesus, then they went against the will of God Almighty that was revealed to Moses. And thus they disbelieved after belief.
Thank you, Sheikh.
Is why even in the final testament, we find God Almighty talking about those who get double reward, the people who get double reward, right? So they are those who followed the true message of Jesus, and they followed it to the T, right? Until they came across Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and they know that they were taught by Jesus to follow him, you know, once he arrived, and they followed him. So God Almighty says for them, they get a double reward, the reward for submitting twice to the will of God Almighty.
And two prophets. We're going to have to bring this beautiful subject to a finality this particular episode. And I want to end with a reminder that just a couple of years ago, in a time of tribulation in modern Egypt, that the Muslims and the Christians joined together to make the prayer of Jesus. And I'm going to repeat it here. Our Lord, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Our sincere thanks again to Sheikh Sajid Umar for his contribution today. God willing, we'll be back with more Heart and Soul tomorrow. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Allah, Allah.